gentlemen, welcome to the Friday Wrap-Up with Greg Campbell, Paul Stevenson, and David Warren. Get the latest of what's going on in Ottawa when it comes to real estate, mortgages, and whatever else they want to talk about. Have a coffee, some laughs, and learn something new each Friday at 10 a.m.
Oh,
don't see anything.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Are we actually live?
Welcome.
Well, how are you? How are you today? Paul, why don't you give an introduction to us? Why don't you introduce us?
Sure. I'm going to, while I'm introducing everyone, I'm going to go to my Facebook and make sure to share it so that everyone in my network can also see it. Welcome to the Friday Wrap-Up. Technical issues, as always. My name is Paul Stevenson, and I am one of the owners of Referral Mortgages, Inc., and I'm here with my esteemed colleagues, David Warren and Greg Campbell. What's cracking?
Esteemed. I'm doing very well. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling so well. Just going to use the word well as much as possible right now. Oh, well. Today, I woke up very early, and I had a... Did some studying. Actually, there's a little course that I'm doing online. It's kind of cool. And I got up, did my yoga, and drank coffee, did some journaling. Feeling great. And yes, I'm Greg Campbell, Blue Panda Realty. David, how are you?
I am complete opposite. I woke up very late. I feel like a bag of shit. I got into a little fever last night. And
you know what? But you showed up. You know?
That's it.
And my number one rule in life, show up.
That's it.
You know who else probably feels like a big bag of shit this morning, David? Homebuyers. Homebuyers find a home.
Yeah, that's a fact for sure.
Yeah, it's I've talked to every client I've been pre-approving this week has already been shopping, which is rare. Usually they're, you know, kind of we're either the first point of contact or the last point of contact after they bought the house. But it seems that people are, everyone I've talked to said that they've been shopping and extremely frustrated with the market. You know, we've been talking about how hot it is. I was talking to you guys yesterday laughing that I was listening to an episode from April. It was the first episode that we did under this platform and everything. April 17th, so a month after the pandemic hit. And it was just very enlightening to hear our discussions back then. And, you know, the market is cold and nothing's moving and there's no new listings. And the no new listings has certainly continued, but the market is certainly no longer cold. So where do we stand today, Gregory?
Well, it's terrifying, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I've been very active in the market right now on both the buying and selling side. And I mean, for sellers, it's fantastic. For buyers, it's absolutely terrifying. I now have probably three buyers who are just like, they're out of the market. They can't buy.
Yeah.
So we've just regrouped and they've decided that they're going to stay renting where they are for now. One is going to team up with a friend to buy. Mm-hmm. They're going to combine their incomes because they were both looking around 300, 350. And now they're just like, okay, well, we're going to move in with each other. Let's just buy a property together so we can get in the market, mm-hmm. which is cool, I guess. As long as they have their own little separate contract in place.
Yeah, I actually heard something this morning about that exact thing that a lot of speculation, but the lack of listings is also due to people moving in with parents, grandparents, whereby those parents or grandparents may have been selling or moving elsewhere. They're now sticking around because they have, you know, maybe additional income or rental support or just support in general from family members. So one thing I think that isn't being factored in is exactly that, right? Is people are, because of COVID and because of job loss and everything else, people are restructuring their overall life. And that's changing living arrangements, relationships, everything, right? So there is going to be a long ripple effect of everything that's happening. And right now, you know, with everything we've been hearing and the speculation is that prices in Ottawa are going to keep going up. But I think the lack of supply is due to that sort of thing, right? Those sorts of factors that you just don't think of. And then, like, I heard that and I thought, well, that makes perfect sense. But why would I think of that?
There's still, even though the, like, we're on lockdown and the pandemic, I still talk to people regularly that are also relocating to Ottawa still for employment, like high tech jobs or government, things like that, that they're coming from Toronto and other markets where they're actually, the prices are higher. And so they're you know, coming here, you know, the other side where they've sold in Toronto or wherever else, you know, taking their equity and purchasing here. I think it's a half month supply on the market in Ottawa, which is, I think you need 6 months to be an even market or a balanced market.
Yeah, that's deadly, man.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and it previously was 30 days. So now it's down to 15 days. So yeah. People, start selling your houses. That's what we got. We need people selling.
We need it.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, talking about the time frame, though, like of the 15 days, I noticed on appraisals this week, I got three in yesterday. Typically on an appraisal, the appraiser will say that in normal market conditions, it'll sell, you know, be on the market for 30 to 90 days for a property to sell. I noticed on these appraisals, the timeline was 10 to 30 days. It was the first time I've ever read an appraisal where typically it'll state that the house will sell in 30, 90 days is like a typical on market timeframe, where now the appraiser is indicating that the timeline for a property on the market in Ottawa, 10 to 30 days, which, you know, kind of speaks to that.
And that's probably the same amount of time that the appraisal will actually have value.
Yeah.
Because in 10 to 30 days, it could be a completely different price.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And I always say that I have this thing called a letter of opinion. So if someone asks me if they want to know what their house is worth, right, I make a letter of opinion. And it always says, this is not a professional appraisal. You know, this is my opinion of value of your property. But I say it distinctly at the end. It says, due to the Ottawa's aggressive real estate market, this price is only valid for a certain amount of time, and literally it could change on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just to basically cover myself going like, if I give you this opinion of value, you know, in 2 weeks, it could be completely different.
I'm actually
hopefully only up.
Yeah. I'm actually very surprised that we haven't seen more people listing, like just with the way houses and sales are going, like you'd think there'd be at least 5 or 10% of the population that are like, wow, we could really benefit from that extra 150K that we weren't expecting. You know, like I'm just surprised given the scenario. Obviously there's many factors and everyone's situation is different, but at least a small subsect you'd think would be like, we got a list, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, you know, where are they going to, I guess you're moving to the outskirt areas, you mean? You know,
or downsizing or just restructuring their situation, you know?
Yeah.
Greg, you had a listing last week. We talked about listed at 309.9. And when we talked on Friday, you had 60 showings. You had 4 bully offers from other, you know, colleagues. What happened? Where did that fall? And how'd the week go in that regard?
I've got some good stories and I've got some follow-up too. So we ended up having 107 showings. I had 36 offers and we sold for $152,000 over list price. So my seller was very happy.
Yeah.
He's retiring basically. I don't know what to tell you. It was just
50%.
Increase. And then the next day, I had 2 of the agents who were bidding on that. They went in on another one and they also lost and said there was 38 offers on the other one. So, you know, when I was just talking to a client this morning and, you know, the conversation was, so basically what I've started doing is I'm looking to always spend $100,000 more than what it's listed at. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's very fair for right now. And then she said, but she's like, is there a way, she's like, are agents deliberately pricing it low to make this happen? And I said, no, I said, not yet. I said, we're still in a transition period where we don't really understand. We've never been in a situation like this where 50 has been fine, but like $100,000 to $150,000 over on like every single sale, basically between $250,000 to $500,000, $600,000. It's never been seen. So it's new territory. Yeah. So it's like, we can't say that anyone's distinctly trying to price low to get more offers. It's just because we're looking at the numbers from past sales. And we still have another few weeks to go before that price is balanced out. So meaning if it's 450 and it sells for 550, you know, they're not going to list at 550 because that's not true value yet. Right. You could list at maybe 475. You could maybe 499. And then you're probably still going to only get, then you'll start getting 450 again. Like it's not going to go up to 6. But finding that balance, that's like the sweet spot. And no, we don't know where that is yet. But overall, I can definitely say that, I mean, if this keeps going up, we're going to be up even bigger numbers than last year.
As a,
and it's scary.
As a seller, I would imagine that, you know, you want, like, even at the advice, like you said, if your home is worth 450, let's just say it, you know, it's worth 450. In our eyes, we think it should be worth 450. If you price it at, in the past at least, if you price it at 475, then you might get two or three people interested, but they might feel it's worth 450 and they're going to be looking for a deal, right? Whereas if you price it at 450, then people might think, well, this might be worth 475. We might be able to get it for 470 or whatever. And then once they actually go to start making offers and there's 12 other offers, it's like, well, we can't offer 475. Now we got to offer 515 or five, whatever. So to kind of reflecting on what we talked about last week, I think homes are actually being priced accurately. It's just the buyers are out of control. Yeah, out of control.
Like, absolutely.
If you get 50 offers on a home that's priced properly, it's going to go well over asking. That's just the nature of the business. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. If there was only three buyers on that home at 350, it would go for 350. You know, so to your point, Greg, I don't think realtors are necessarily pricing it incorrectly. I think it's just such a unprecedented market that it's impossible to price it accurately. And if you do price it accurately, you might actually dissuade, like if you overprice it,
yeah,
given the current conditions, then you might dissuade people from even looking at it, and then you might not even sell, right? So it's very tricky.
It's such an interesting thing where, you know, I've been in it long enough to remember when under market, at market, and over market was only $10,000 difference on each end.
Yeah.
Under market, if it was 500, under market was 490, over was 510.
Yeah.
And you know, you could honestly base your sale and your traffic on that minor change. Mm-hmm. And now it's like,
crazy.
You can't even do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Has there been does any of it have to do with new builds and new housing starts, like because of material issues? Like, do you find that the builders are, I know there's a lack of supply, but you know, typically there's new builds coming online. Like, do you find that there's been huge delays that is kind of pushing that as well?
I haven't been following the new builds as much as I have previously. But that's a very good question. And I'm actually working with a couple people now where I'm going to have to get that information. So maybe for next week, that could be my homework. And I'll talk about that a bit more.
Yeah. Like I know some of the condos around me, I mean, I'm downtown off Preston, but they seem like they've been stagnant for ages. Like, they're just not being finished.
We talked about the supply chain last week too, right?
Yeah, like I'm just curious.
Definitely an issue.
Yeah, like I'm just curious if any of these like extra buyers would typically be buying new builds, but the new build projects are maybe, I don't know. Like if they're delayed and then that's kind of pushing people on the resale instead.
Well, I mean, there's a flip side to that because I've got guys who can't buy resale. So they're going to buy new.
Yeah.
Even if it's done in 2 years, they're just like, fuck it, I'm out, man. I can't do this.
So
I
know when Kevin Morris was on, we were talking about percentages of homes going over asking. And I think the highest we saw was kind of in the 10 to 11% range. When you're going out with buyers now, Greg, where are you suggesting they throw their dart? Like what is kind of your, like, I mean, we just saw that one that you were listing went for 50% over asking. So, you know, if you're shopping in that price range, like how do you even, Where do you start with that conversation with the client?
Well, I mean, this is, like I said, this is all pretty new. So, you know, you really have to just, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, you know, my conversation in the past has always been your price is the price that you're comfortable losing the house at. And that will never change.
Yeah.
It's just that now that price is an extra $100,000, basically guaranteed right now. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed, you're spending $100,000 more in this current market. That's a fact. The numbers are showing that. I can't wait to have Kevin on in a couple of weeks and just get his new updated report on this because it's wild.
You did have some stats though, Greg, from, I believe it was 2020, right? As far as listings versus home prices or what?
So if Stephen can bring up the chart actually. So this is an updated chart. And this is from our board. So this is, I can't read that too well on here. I can't remember what I'm looking at. That's new listings by week. So if you see where the red line, this year is the dark red line over here. No, that's when COVID happened. So yeah, right down there, that's the new listings by week. So a pretty serious upward trajectory, but we're still behind. We're still behind where we were in the past.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. I remember 2019's on there. I remember I had a great winter in 2019.
So blue is 2019. Is that right?
Blue is 2019. Yeah. Go down to the next one. And sold properties by week. So as you can see, that's a pretty straight trajectory, and that's going to keep rocketing.
So I mean, the other thing to consider, sorry to cut you off, Greg, is that like homes are only staying on the market for 4 or 5 days. So like you look at this chart, sold properties by week. I mean, it's actually higher than the last 2 years, but it's because as soon as something comes on the market, it's gone 4 days later. So like you can't sustain homes being like a home's listed and it's gone. So it's not even like, you know, you see a for sale sign go up, guaranteed you drive by it a week later, it's now a sold sign. Like,
guaranteed.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Your house is selling right now, you know?
Guaranteed. Anywhere. Pretty much. Go down to the next one, Steve. This one's interesting. Average price by week. Check that number.
Yeah.
Wow.
What in the world?
That is crazy.
It's outlandish.
Yeah, for anyone who's just listening, how much is that? An extra 100,000? I don't know what
that's exactly what we're selling. Yeah. 150,000
average sale price by week year over year from last year.
And hit the next one. There's one more, I think. Eh? Yeah, check it out.
One was residential and condo, and one was, I think, just residential.
Just residential. My goodness. Wow. It's time for pause looking at that graph.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's just nuts.
So where do we go from here? I mean, I know we were joking yesterday there was a few articles that came out that said there was a crash coming, you know, worst case scenario, this is what it could look like. Well, I mean, we're in a worst case scenario in many factors, but I don't think the real estate market is going to be hitting that worst case scenario anytime soon, in my opinion.
No. And you know what? I had two calls from investors from Toronto yesterday, both on at the same time, one after the other. They were asking about my listing, and then they were asking about, you know, one of them had an offer on another property and they lost. It sold for 150 over list. It was a townhome. And they were both saying, you know, we're investors. We're trying to get into the Ottawa market. You know, what do you think? Like, what's happening? And I told them, you know, and they were like, really? And they're like, cause that's what's happening. And they said that they are looking at Ottawa cause that's what's happening again in Toronto right now too. And they're like, we just can't do anything here right now. So we're looking at Ottawa. And I said, well, I'm like, you're a few months late. Like if you're looking, he's like, cause he's saying like
100,000 short,
300 to 450. And I'm like, well, I'm like, you know, you can do that, but you're missing out on a lot of good ones. So anyways, I'm going to try to work with them and see what we can do. But they were shocked. They're saying, and they said the same thing. So you're telling me that I basically have to spend 100,000 over the list price right now. And I'm like, yeah. If you want an investment property, and they're like, well, there's no way I can cash flow. I'm like, exactly. So, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like, well, who's buying? I'm like, people that need a place to live. You know, I go, I think any investor right now is probably just waiting. I imagine. Like I can't imagine there's a lot of people running around.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Rental. I mean, Dave, you might know more about that than me. Like, how do you see, as an investor, how do you see that?
I think it's tough. Like you said, I mean, you gotta look at what the numbers, you know, for my carrying cost is going to be and what your break even is. I think the offset of it, the trickle effect is going to be, how does this impact rental rates, you know, down the line as home values go up, carrying costs become higher. The rent's going to have to come up because otherwise the landlord is, the owner is underwater every month. And, So I think that'll be interesting. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think I would be sitting on the sideline. You know, you're looking for off market or waiting to see if there's a little bit of a dip, or, you know, just more off, like, you know, private sales or what have you. Cause yeah, competing on stuff where you're spending, you know, $450 on that townhome as a rental. I mean, you can only be charging like $1,700 a month, I would imagine, $1,800 a month. I mean, that's not going to carry, that's not going to carry it.
You're still, yeah, you're, is, set, you're 17 to 2200 pretty much as like a guideline for, in terms of like condo row, row home, you know, depending on what it is and how big it is and the age.
But so to your like, point, Greg, I think that is dissuading a lot of investors from entering the market, right? So there's a lot of people probably sitting with cash or money ready to invest that are just, you know, not necessarily gun shy, but there's just such, it's just not, you know, there's no opportunities that make sense financially when you're looking at the bottom line from an investor standpoint, unless you're going to buy, you know, a high-end single family and rent it out to a high-end single family. You know, it's tough right now from an investor. From
a smaller town or something like that. If you're
Invest. I definitely see a migration of people out to like, but the prices in like Carlton Place and stuff are still are crazy. But I definitely see a migrate, like people moving or buying in like Perth and Renfrew and Kempville, you know, places like that in the Valley, just because it's, you know, more affordable or able to, and kind of just working from home has changed that. But yeah, it's certainly
development. I've seen a development in Carlton Place over the years and it's been insane. Like once they put that, that mall in, I actually opened the TD that's in Carlton Place. I actually opened that branch when I was still working at TD. And that probably would have been 2007 or 2008. And since then, they've built a whole community that Miller's Crossing, or I think it's Miller's Crossing, behind those shops near the beer store and all that. And then on the other side now where the Canadian Tire is, that has all been now, that's all being developed. So everything basically from the Canadian Tire back to the Shoppers, if anyone knows, like on McNeely, anyone knows Carlton Place, they used to all be just this grassland, right? Walmart went in. As soon as Walmart and McDonald's go in, you're big city. You know, like they're official. They got their two Tim Hortons. They got their McDonald's. They got their Starbucks. They're a city now. You know what I mean? They're a town. So, so yeah, there's been a mass migration there. And with the highway being four lanes now, I mean, you can get from, you know, McNeely and Highway 7, which is the main intersection in Carlton Place. You can get that down to, you can get to Stittsville in 15 minutes. You know, you're downtown in 30 minutes max. And with people working remotely, like you said, you know, you want a little bit of land and you want a bit more bang for your buck. You can move out there. At least that was the thought. Well, now, you know, row houses out there, new builds are still being listed at, I think, 450, 460, 500, like just crazy. So to your point, Dave, it's like, you can't really escape it. It's just kind of reverberating outside the city. And
you just got to go the other way. You got Winchester, Limoges, Russell.
If the damn bridge wasn't there to Gatineau, we'd have a lot of people outside too, you know?
Russell's got some nice, nice developments coming up. They're working on now. The prices are still going up. Like, I can't believe the price of the new builds. Like, you know, my buddy bought an 1800 square foot single, 720,000, 1800 square foot single. Like,
Matt Manor says he saw a duplex and also considering some new homes in Carlton Place. He's currently in Orleans. He's also an investor. And he said he thinks CP got it first and is growing, but Arm Prior is the next best thing currently.
Yeah. The Prior is going to grow for sure. Richmond's going to be hitting it. I mean, it's already happening, but that's going to hit it big in the next couple of years, 100%.
Richmond?
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about that, the CMHC thing? Quickly,
yeah. I mean, it's
I mean, I think we bring it up and just comment on it because I know everybody's read it. I had calls from clients already freaking, I don't know what to do.
As I joked before, I sometimes feel like the CMHC is CMZ with the way that they write their headlines just to scare everyone in the market. But
the fear mongering headlines,
Bring it up there, Stephen. We might as well take a look and go over it. So essentially, they basically said in an absolute worst case scenario of, you know, I think it was 50% job loss or something like that, 50% job loss across Canada. And I think they said like four lenders would have to go bankrupt, including one major lender, like a major bank would have to be bankrupt for this sort of worst case scenario to apply. So, you know, when they look at
why even put it out there? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's the headline, and it's the headline. People see the headline and they don't read anything.
Right.
Prices dropping 47%. Oh my God, call Greg.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Should we list? Should we list now before this happens? I'm like, dude, read the fucking article.
Yeah.
And it's dropping by 2030 or 2050. And the world, like, not only a pandemic didn't do it. You need 50% unemployment and like major banks crumbling. Canada doesn't exist at that point. We've been taken over. The US has just invaded us. That's all.
Do we have the article, Stephen? Oh. I think Greg might have posted it, but it's okay.
I posted it in the group earlier. Anyways, that's all right.
Yeah. So regardless, in the second paragraph, like literally there's a little blurb. The second paragraph says, like, for this to take place, all these things have to happen. And it's legitimately the apocalypse. Like it goes into detail about like who would have to default and this and that. And I said to you guys jokingly, you know, with CMHC taking, well, you know, sometimes 4% off the top for insurance on every insured mortgage across Canada. I mean, they have literally billions of dollars that they've collected, and the default rate in Canada is 0.2. So they have a lot of money sitting that they should, if something went wrong, they should be able to help the banks out a little bit, you'd think.
Yeah. So we're just clarifying it for all you buyers out there and sellers. Just like if you're reading that CMHC headline, just talk to somebody or just listen to what we said.
Or read the whole article. Just read the whole article.
Read the article. Propaganda. Basically.
I'm gonna try to find it so I can at least post it so people can read it and see how
it's a good article. I mean, yeah, it's good to read. in terms of business this week for me, I've got another couple of good listings coming up that should set the bar and just add more conversation to this in the next few weeks. So I've got a 2-bedroom, 3-story. The last one that was listed at 470 sold for 520. So if anyone off market wants to pay 520 for this one, gladly we can do it off market. Or else we're going to go to market and see if we can.
What area of the city are you in?
Orleans. It's in Orleans. 3-story, 2-bedroom. Big. They're the big ones. And then I got another one in Findlay Creek, Stacktown. And I got that one at Wateridge, the Mattamy. The first resale ever. And that one doesn't have any condo fees for 5 years because that's what came with the builder purchase. So that's crazy. So you can buy one new and you can wait 2 years. Or you can buy this one for 420 and get all your appliances, AC, and no condo fees for 5 years. That one hits the market next week. Yeah.
I'll take 2.
It's great location. Great location too. That Wateridge best. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, once that whole thing's done in the next 10 years, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I know there's Greg. I went to ask you actually, I have a friend who lives in Dunrobin. He's been there for a while. Was actually affected when the tornado hit. So he's back on his feet now and the neighborhood's been redeveloped. But when you're driving down Moody, I noticed that there, is it Moody or? I think it's Moody. What the street where the business park is on in Kanata there?
Yeah, Moody.
March Road. Thank you, March. Yeah. So when you're driving down March all the way down into Dunrobin, there's a new subdivision of 700 homes that's being put in there right after the I think it's a Wendy's and all that. Like right after the last strip mall called the Barley Mall.
700. Eh? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's like a whole community. There's I think they're actually putting a McDonald's in there. He said more so as like a staple, a gas station. Like it's going to be a full community, and it's where the old Decock berries was. There was like a berry farm that was along there.
Okay.
So all new homes there. So for anyone that's looking for something that's you know, outside the city. I'm sure that phase one is probably going to be coming up in the next 12 months. So
700. So it's a few different builders. Do you know who it is?
I'll find out who the builder is, but I know they're doing a mix of singles, towns, semis, like the whole nine. So it'll be it'll be a full neighborhood, full community, and I think that'll be a really unique offering because you know Dunrobin is obviously definitely become fairly hot, but with Constance Bay and like everything out that way is very. Kind of small townish, you know, small town feel. And I think a lot of people are kind of looking to get outside the, you know, the big city. But again, you know, you look at places like Toronto and stuff like that. I mean, Dunrobin's going to be a new market in 5 years, you know, so.
Yeah. That's a big basically. Development. 700 homes. 700 homes is that's a pretty big, good size development.
It's big. He told me about this a few months ago. I'm going to actually text him while we're on here to see if he can quick.
That's going to take a few years to be completed.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That'll be good. That'll be good for the housing supply out there. I mean, people, you know, that's you're right in near Kanata and Stittsville and everything like that. So
it's excellent. Yeah. I mean, you're literally from there, you're probably max 10 minutes to the highway at March Road, which is, you know, pretty good location. I think I'm an East End boy. Like, I grew up obviously in Beacon Hill and lived in Blackburn and this and that, but having moved to the West, I know you guys are still central and East, having moved to the West, I don't know if I could go back. I'm a West Coast rider now.
Wow.
Minto is the builder, he says.
Oh, snap really? Calls.
Yeah, Minto.
The new Minto development.
Yeah.
All Minto, 700 homes.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
That's big. You guys got, what's the news? What's the news on rates right now? 0%?
Yeah, pretty well. Bank of Canada didn't move the overnight rate, so prime is staying the same. They reiterated they're not going to make any movements until the economy is on the upward trend, and they don't foresee anything until 2023. So, you know, variable is still a great option, and the fixed rates are ridiculous. High ratio, across the board, you're fine at 169 across the board with basically all lenders. Money's free. I mean, that also helps. That's also perpetuating the housing pricing because people can, the payments are that much lower to be able to purchase.
It's interesting. I saw another article just briefly based on, you know, people are spending, they're getting lower rates, but they're spending more money. I read that the household debt is up 7.5% over the last little while, apparently. Making Canada now, once again. Go ahead.
But I don't know if they're also taking into account. I think I read somewhere that over the pandemic, because people aren't able to travel and spend, that it's something like Canadians have $2 billion saved in cash, like in their
There's that flip side
savings account that, you know, they maybe aren't paying down that debt. Like, they're taking on household debt, like to buy a new home, but they still have massive amount of savings. Like, so certain people do that have maintained their, you know, full salaries or what have you, and just aren't able to take those family vacations. They've just stockpiled instead.
We should call on Kevin Morris to do a little stats run through.
Yeah.
Canadian household debt. That'd be a good one.
Stats guy.
Stats guy. Sorry, I just posted Morgan's Creek, and that's not actually the right one. It's Brookline.
That's not it.
Brookline. No.
Brookline.
Nope. Hold on.
Paul, this is terrible.
Brookline.
You're just confusing us all.
It is Brookline. It is Brookline. I'm going to post it again. Hold on. There was two in Canada. That's why I got mistaken. Let me delete this comment. Delete. Here you go. Take a look. Did it come up?
Oh, this is terrible. Let's on that note, let's talk about next week. So next week we should be streaming live from Friday Wrap Up page, Referral Mortgages page, Greg Campbell, Blue Panda Realty page.
Yeah, and we want a Q&A. We're going to do a little Q&A. So if you have any questions, feel free to email any of us or post them in the chat, whatever it may be, or reach out to us individually. Let us know what topics, or if you have any questions about the market, about mortgages, real estate, you know, Greg's rap career, whatever.
I noticed that it wasn't posting, so I posted it. Now it's there about 8 times. So if anyone wants to see Brookline, it's sweet. Definitely in the chat. mood boost. Let's get to it. I just got to bring them up here. So mood boost last week. I don't know if I can top those, to be honest. So we're going to have to, see what Tim came up with. I haven't even read these. So number one, mood boost. Loading currently. I was too busy. Oh, here we go. Okay. So everyone has heard the joke about the scarecrow being outstanding in my field, but hey, it's in his jeans.
I like that one.
More like his
overalls. It's in his overalls.
But hey, it's in his jeans. jeans, you know, in his, anyways. So what do climbers, plastic wrap, and ex-lovers have in common? They all know how to cling on. I feel like there could have been a Star Trek angle there as well. But, I arrived early to the restaurant. The manager said, "Do you mind waiting a bit?" I said, "No." "Good," he said. "Take these drinks to table 9.
Wow. Speaking of comedy, everybody needs to watch the movie Sorry to Bother You. If you like dark comedy, it's a pretty crazy movie. I found it. I put it on. It's called Sorry to Bother You. And it's just you have no idea what, you know, things start happening. You're just like, what is going on? It's
good.
Sorry to Bother You. You'll know. I don't even know why. I can't remember the dude's name, but you'll know him. Oh, you saw it.
It's critically important that you do zero research about the movie before you go watch it, because it is like, wow. Yeah, it'll get you there. It'll get you there.
Hopkins has seen it. Amazing.
All right. That's great. Sorry to bother you. Okay. No research ahead of time. I'm going right in. I like it.
For everyone listening in, tune in every Friday. The Friday Wrap-Up will be here. My name is Paul Stevenson. I'm with Greg Campbell and David Warren. If you want to listen to past episodes or this one, you can just simply go to the podcast platform that you prefer. Click or search for The Friday Wrap-Up. We're on everything, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, you name it. And yeah, FridayWrapUp.com. We're there as well. We're everywhere.
Like, follow, share.
Comment. Love.
Comment.
Love, follow, share.
Love first. Then comment, share.
One love.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
You too.
Deuces.
All right, later.
The Friday Wrap-Up, brought to you by Blue Panda Realty, ReferralMortgages.com, and Stephen Hopkins Video. No flash.